From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'd love to open the show that way. Also love to open the show with our good friend Paul Starkey. Paul, a good day to you.
Well, hello, Bob. How are you?
Doing very, very well. I guess, or as well as can be expected under the circumstances.
I hope you're not referring to the Notre Dame football schedule.
Well, I am, actually. Yeah, it's... I guess we're in for the cardiac kids this year.
It is going to be a time of prayer for every good Catholic.
Well, you know, I was covering a football game. I was in a press box in San Diego while the Notre Dame game was going on. Talk about a conflict of interest. And somebody in the press box says, Notre Dame lost to Toledo. And I went, no, they didn't. Well, I said, well, there's only a minute 16 left. They're behind. And I'm going, oh, okay, they didn't lose. Just be faithful. It was at a Catholic university. I was covering this game, too, the University of San Diego. And people of little faith. And
absolutely. What's wrong with those folks?
What's wrong with those folks? And then we see the Hail Mary that beat Florida State, not the Notre Dame Hail Mary, but the Jacksonville State Hail Mary.
Yeah.
I think it was more than a Hail Mary. The guy didn't even catch it. I think you have to catch it in the end zone for it to be a Hail Mary. He had to run 20 yards with it after catching it. The Blessed Mother was escorting him the whole way. So,
who knew that football was going to be a religious experience every Saturday with Notre Dame?
Well, you know what's really funny, Paul? Ministry Days, which unfortunately has been postponed. It's always the last Friday and Saturday of September, and it just was postponed because of COVID, because it attracts about 1,000 people. The keynote speaker was a woman, a professor from Notre Dame, and I interviewed her on the radio, and my first question was, this was a couple of weeks ago before it had been postponed, and I said, are you an Irish fan? And she says, oh, my goodness, oh, I would never miss a game, on and on and on and on. And I said, well, Ministry Days on Saturday, when you give your keynote, they're going to be playing Wisconsin. And she went, oh, no, I didn't realize that. You know, it's like, so I promised her that we would set up a TV that she could kind of glance at, you know, during her keynote.
But I think that should be her keynote, to see how sacrifice and struggle will prevail for the
yes.
good.
Yes, indeed.
I want to ask you about our upcoming schedule, too. I'm looking at it, and I see that we're playing Badgers and Bearcats and then Hokies.
Yeah, I mean,
not to mention the Boilermakers this Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Boilermakers always trouble, even though they've kind of fallen on hard times. They're always trouble for the Irish. I don't know why.
It's that Indiana jinx. You betcha.
Yeah, well, why don't we play Indiana State or Kokomo Tech or somebody if we need an Indiana rival? Valparaiso, they play football.
Yeah, but I love the Boilermakers. That's a tradition. That's a great game.
That's one of the big rivalries. Maybe people think it's Notre Dame SC, Notre Dame Michigan. The Boilermakers and the Irish go way back.
Way back. It's like the military game.
When Notre Dame Army was the big game.
Yeah.
Back before you were born, Paul.
Barely. Just barely. Let me, this is September, and this is my end of the year for St. Vincent de Paul.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yes. Well, no, I didn't.
We're wrapping it up because we have a Happy New Year for our new year. It starts on October 1st, and what a month. We have the feast day of Blessed Frederick Ozanam, who was our founder.
That's right, in September, that's right.
September, that was on September 9th. There's a little story about that. His actual feast day would have been on September 8th, but because that's the Feast of Mary, they have moved it on the calendar to the 9th. They bumped him, but he would have loved it because he was devoted to our Blessed Virgin.
Yes.
And that we say the Hail Mary at every conference meeting. It's mandatory.
And
it's just a great tradition. And then on September 27th, St. Vincent de Paul, and everyone thinks, well, that's, you know, that's who founded the society. And it's like, no, he came a long time ago. The society's only been around since 1833. So St. Vincent was back in the what we say, what is that, the medieval times.
Yes. I mean, it's like, but it is confusing. Why don't they call it the Ozanam Society?
I'm glad they don't, because nobody can pronounce it.
That's true. So
I'm good with St. Vincent de Paul.
Yeah, I am too.
Today is the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows, and I learned something. I did not know that they were the patron saint of the Holy Cross Order at Notre Dame.
Oh, wow.
I did not know that, and that's, I should have known it by now, but I didn't, and they have a wonderful dedication to Our Lady of Sorrows, and there's actually some beautiful artwork on the campus that commemorates that.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, so the traditions to Mary, they're, you know, it's very, very Catholic and very beautiful.
Yeah, and they're very beautiful. That's exactly right. It's funny because you hear these different days, and you go, well, what about December 12th? What about, you know, September 8th? What about, you know, it's like, there are a bunch of them.
And a funny story for the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, because we have a dedication to Mary, we celebrate every Marian feast, right?
Yeah.
So it's just one big party. So join St. Vincent de Paul, because we're always having mass and throwing parties and honoring the Virgin.
May 13, October 13. We come up with all kinds of dates that involve Mary.
Yeah, and rightfully so. We should.
Rightfully so. Yeah. She's everywhere.
September is also not only the end of the year and the celebrations of St. Vincent de Paul and Blessed Frederick, but we have our Walk for the Poor. And it's I say this every year, Bob, to your wonderful audience, it gets bigger and better, and it's bigger and better this year. We have walks throughout the Sacramento Diocese. We have already had some walks, believe it or not. Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento at the elementary school there, the council put on its walk. We had St. Joseph Elk Grove. We had St. Mary's from Sacramento, Immaculate Conception from Sacramento. And who else knows, Bob, because we were all wearing masks. I don't know who those people. In Yolo County, apparently, there is, even for outdoor events that are highly populated, and we had almost, I think we had 100 people or almost. And so I show up, right, and, you know, I'm, you know, a little, not late, but I'm, you know, I'm getting there just in time. And I walk up there, and, you know, I don't have a mask on, and then I look around, and, you know, there's Father Kiernan, our spiritual advisor,
right.
He's wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm looking around, I'm thinking, I didn't get the memo on this. So I reached in my pocket and got my mask on. So
good. Good. At least you had one in your pocket.
Oh, I don't leave home without it.
Yeah, you didn't have to, you know, put your chin on your chest and skulk away and say, oh, I'm a sinner.
always prepared.
Yeah, I've got one in one pocket, one in the other pocket, one in the glove box in the car. You know.
Well, it's, you know, have you had one of them break on you?
Yes. Yeah.
It's. I won't name the brand store, but Target, and you know, I put the thing on and it pops right off, and unfortunately, I did have another one on. You know, but. I need to upgrade on my mask. That's all there is to it.
My wife bought some the other day that had the strap was real thick. I mean, real thick, not the thin like a little piece of string, but it was real thick, and so it looked really rugged. And put it on. Of course, I got big ears, I guess, you know, and just it broke before I could even get over my ear, and it was actually. They were very cheap, but they were made to look like they were rugged, you know.
Yeah. Now, do you have your Sacramento Diocese official mask and your Notre Dame mask? And and the bishops are. Does Bishop Sauer have a mask?
We don't. You know, we should. We've got to order those up. And
what's Gabe doing?
I don't know. You know, we should, marketing and promotions. we need to get. We'll get some Bishop Sauer's masks. And then when you walk around, people say, what is that?
Yeah. Well, you know, we joke about it, but it's very, very serious. And all the St. Vincent de Paul conferences have really been struggling with, as all Catholic groups have been, struggling with, how to be Catholic during this yeah. pandemic time. What does that mean to be Catholic? And we're learning that the Holy Spirit calls us to do even more than we thought we could. And so St. Vincent de Paul has certainly been doing that. These walks are representative of what we're doing. We're walking for the poor, not only to bring recognition to the poor among us, but also to raise funds for the charities that we do. And, we've talked about those charities. We help with rent assistance. We help with bringing food to folks. But then there's some things that people just don't know that we do that they should know. And one of those is that we are on the, I would say the front line now, not the fire line, but with these fires, St. Vincent de Paul has been active for over 5 years in providing relief to fire victims. And we're doing it today again. And we've set up charity funds and have got workers, caseworkers that are out there. Our store is involved in getting goods to people and helping them. But then in addition to that, we have our most recent thing, which I didn't know about, which is pretty exciting. We have a vaccine clinic at the store.
And so, I just read about that.
Yeah, so we have the operations out there. They come out to the lot. And the next one, there was one, I believe it was today. It might have been yesterday. But since we're on radio, I won't tell you what day it is. But anyway, it's the next one I will tell you is going to be September 25th.
Okay.
At the store on Watt Avenue. And so come by, drop off your goods, go into the store, pick something up. And we've got great merchandise. And then go do a test if you want.
It's test and or vaccine, right?
Yeah.
That's just wonderful. That's great. And I had read they were going to do that, and I thought, what a wonderful idea. And I know with the fires, you guys do more than get goods to people, which you're very good at doing. But the helping people get through all the red tape and all the I know up in the fire in Paradise, the campfire, you folks set up in Chico, and just helped just hundreds, probably thousands of people who were displaced.
Right, and St. Vincent de Paul nationally has a disaster relief foundation that's working in, flood, fire, whatever. And Jenny Dietlein, who's one of our former council presidents, she's very active on the national level with that. And then the other thing that we're doing that people often don't know about, but you've been great to talk about it on your show, is the reentry project that we have, the Exodus.
The Exodus Project, yeah.
And, so all of these things that we're doing, so I'm saying this not to say good for us. I'm saying it to the folks in your listening audience. If you feel a call to help out in any of these areas, there's so much need. There's so much to be done. Go to our webpage and check out all the things that we're doing and that we're always looking for help for people to help us, both I'll call, in the trenches, roll up your sleeves help, mm-hmm. and then pull out your wallet help. Either one of those is going to be great. But our website, of course, I've told you this in the past, Bob, it is the worst named website in the world. It is SV, St. Vincent de Paul, SVDP-Sacramento.org, SVDP-Sacramento.org. So just type in St. Vincent de Paul, Sacramento. If you get the thrift store, that's not our website. But take a look and then go find our website. Program and events, how to help, what we need help with, all the new programs going on. And that's the thing, Bob. In this pandemic, you would have thought, it's all going to stop, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't.
Mm-mm.
We have been working in new and varied ways to serve those in need. And I don't know, if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit you know, I don't know what's going to make you bleed, because you would think, hey, you know, it's a pandemic, everybody, you know, shelters, you know, stay away. And no, the Vincentians are out there, you know, and the same thing with the Knights. I mean, the Catholic organizations are amazing. We did not phone it in, and it's just amazing. But we need help, so that's the pitch.
Well, I remember, you know, in the most recent hurricane, reminded me of it, talking to the relief people in New Orleans, like civil relief people, not a religious group, although I did talk to the Catholic charities people down there as well. But in New Orleans with Katrina, 10 years ago or so ago, and they said, without the Knights of Columbus, without St. Vincent de Paul, we wouldn't be able to get back on our feet. He said the amount of just straight-out volunteer labor, cash donations, in-kind donations, goods, et cetera, and they just named that voluntarily, you know, as the ones that had saved the day.
Yeah, and it takes, you know, it really takes everyone doing whatever gifts you've been given to make this all work. It's time now, Bob, though, for our litany of saints, and this is a little unusual. You've never done it this way. But I'm going to name off dates, and then the walk for the poor, and it is just a litany of saints. I'm naming it. Bear with me. So September 11th,
yes.
Our Lady of Grace,
right.
St. Joseph, Elk Grove, St. Mary's Sacramento, Immaculate Conception. September 18th, St. Joseph in Reading. We've got on the 25th, which is the big day. That's the national walk.
Right.
Ascension all over the United States. We've got Holy Family in Citrus Heights. We've got St. Catherine Drexel Jackson.
Jackson, yeah. Martel.
Holy Spirit in Sacramento. That's a big one. Dot O'Connor, they're raising money for the Transitional Housing Program. Excellent program. And then, Bob, this is how big it is. We can't even do it all in September, but we have to go into October. So we've got Little Saint Dominic in Benicia.
Yep.
They're walking in October. So they're late to the party, but they almost made it. And then it's gotten so big, we have stealth walks. These are walks that if you go to the webpage, you won't even find them. In Chico, our Divine Savior, they're walking in September 25th, and St. Joseph Lincoln, they are walking, and I believe it is going to be scheduled for the 18th.
Of October?
No, September.
Oh, September, okay.
It's so under the radar, I don't even have the date with me right now.
Wow.
And Ron Morin's going to kill me for not having that date available. But so that's the Litany of Saints. Up and down the diocese, it's just an amazing thing. You're welcome to this website. On the national website, is so interesting. It's FOP, Friends of Poor Walk. So it's FOPWalk.org. And you will see, if you click around, you'll find a map of the United States with all of these red balloons. And they're all over the United States. This is happening from Rhode Island to California and who knows, maybe Hawaii. I don't know.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe one of the last times we talked, you mentioned that you have associate's program is the right term, but you don't if there's a particular project you'd like to get involved in, you don't necessarily have to become a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
No, not at all. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. We have conferences that are working both with civil, you know, government organizations, and then private-run organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Very ecumenical. We have conferences that are working together with you know, different churches, but for St. Vincent de Paul and the conferences, you know, absolutely, you do not have to be a card-carrying member. But you know, we will ask you. We will, because one of the things we find about this, I mentioned the idea of a party. People say, well, I don't want to go to another meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you haven't been to one of our meetings, you know, our meetings they're just amazing because, and I talk about this, the road to Emmaus, you know, when the two disciples are on the road to Emmaus and they encounter Christ, they come running back to tell everybody else. And that's the experience you'll find in St. Vincent de Paul, that as you are doing things, it can be anything. It can be the fire relief. It can be working with, formerly incarcerated people. It can be people that are, in need of food, need of rent, need of utilities. Whatever it is, you're going to find the face of Christ in the poor. It just happens. And then when it does, when you this is coming back to, the feast of the Virgin of Sorrow. In sorrow, we find our church. We find our church, and I'm not making this up. I read this morning, so I'm sharing it. We find our church at the base of the cross.
Yep.
And with us there is Mary. And it's in that encounter that we find, the resurrection, this new existence. And there hasn't been, every time I get together with Vincentians, it is just an amazing experience. These are wonderful people. I think they're all saints except for me. They're just great people.
It's been my experience for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And, the thing is we keep reaching out to you. I've offered you free T-shirts, whatever it takes to get you to be a card-carrying member, but not necessary because you've been such a great support over all these years. We just greatly appreciate it.
Well, it's such a wonderful, wonderful organization, and it's done. I mean, talk about working in the Lord's vineyard. So, Paul, speaking of the pandemic, and the needs, and the fact that you guys are going full steam ahead, what accommodations have you had to make? How do you go about things differently, if at all?
Well, it has been a real challenge and a sea change, and we actually are talking about our experience, like I'm sure other Catholic groups are too, as we go through this. But for example, we would go and do a home visit, knock on the door, at the invitation of the person there, walk in, sit down on their couch, have a conversation. We don't do that anymore. We can't right now. But we will, for example, some of the conferences will go to the door. Physical distance, do the same thing with the mask and stuff like that, hand sanitizers, all of that stuff that's being done in the private sector, it's being done at the stores, it's being done everywhere, and just being very, very careful, but, being respectful of the beliefs and the concerns of the people that we're serving. But one of the things that's interesting is that the need has changed, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, the last time we had an opportunity to talk. The need for rental assistance had disappeared. It just, The calls weren't there. And the need for food, it seemed to disappear. And so I was racking my brain in looking at statistics and saying, what's going on? And what was going on was this change in more people were helping with food. And so that made a difference. They were getting, people that we normally would have served were finding other outlets, which is fantastic.
Right.
In the rental area, there was government assistance.
There's been a lot of government assistance, yeah.
Yeah, and now we're finding there's been bureaucratic challenges with that.
Right.
And at some point, that's going to run out, and so we will be, sadly, probably back in business in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, one of the things that never seemed to stop, at least for our conference in West Sacramento, was the need for utilities and the emergency housing. Housing is just a big, big problem.
Right.
But, there was a movement to start to shelter the homeless through state programs, and that's going on in the city of Sacramento and other cities are doing that. And St. Vincent de Paul has been asked to participate, and we have been. Same thing. Helping the poor, helping those in need, finding new and inventive ways to do it.
It's just a tremendous organization. Are you already, do you have a guest speaker for next year's Dinner for the Poor?
If we did, Bob.
You couldn't tell me.
I'd have to kill you.
Yeah, I figured that.
No, seriously, on a serious note, a lot, just like you mentioned that ministry days, had to be continued.
Postponed,
postponed. The same thing with our famous December Top Hat Dinner.
And
We've moved it out to January. We've moved it to a new location. It's going to be at St. Joseph Lincoln. It's going to be a lunch. So we're adapting, to this new situation, but trying to hold on to the traditions that we have.
The Top Hat Dinner, as I recall, is where I first met you, Paul.
I believe it was.
I think we were in line fighting over the jumbo shrimp.
I remember it was the chicken, the rubber.
It was
the chicken.
Was okay. I remember the place. I don't remember the name of it. It was
the beautiful Croatian.
Yes. I was going to say. I know it was. It had an international flavor to it.
Yeah.
Another beautiful community in our very diverse Sacramento community.
Right.
And speaking of that, you just made me think of yet another thing that we're doing. And this is, we help refugees. And, in the news, there are Afghan refugees being placed throughout the United States.
Right.
And our conferences in what we call the East District up there where St. Mel's is.
Right.
And St. Mel's in particular has a history of helping refugees through St. Vincent de Paul. And so they're underway to do that. And I'm really excited that one of our newest conferences, St. Ignatius, is also going to be working in that direction. So, again, the Holy Spirit's just alive. I mean, it's just an amazing thing.
And we've already had a fairly significant Afghan community here in Sacramento, correct?
Yes, and that's one of the reasons that Sacramento, with its diverse community and roots and things it's established, it's a logical location for the safe and smooth transition for these folks, it goes and you always remind me of this. It goes back to Matthew 25. We're helping the stranger.
Yep,
that's right in there.
Yep, and the Exodus Project, is helping people who are incarcerated, and you go right through Matthew 25, and you guys are hitting on all cylinders.
Well, it's kind of like apparently someone said that was our rule book, Bob. I don't know what happened, but I think Blessed Frederick was sitting around the room with all those university students and said, "Well, what should we be doing?"
Yeah.
And I think somebody pulled out Matthew 25 and said, "Here's the start."
Here's the start. Yeah. Here's a guideline. We'll put it up on the wall.
Exactly.
See if we can do some of it. The thing that always has, I guess, fascinated me about Matthew 25 is some of the things you would sort of predict, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, even welcome the stranger, but visit people in prison. It's like that's an odd one to just toss in there. It's not one that readily comes to mind. And it's not like visit them because they're clearly innocent or they're political prisoners, right? We just visit them. We're not talking about whether they were guilty or innocent or wrongfully or rightfully incarcerated or how long their sentence is or what their crime was. Just visit them. They're children of God.
Yeah, exactly. That's the mystery that we as Catholics deal with every single day is to understand that, our humanity unites us because we're children of God.
Right.
You triggered my thoughts, Bob. I'm sorry, but you initiatives. We during the pandemic, and maybe slightly before, I've lost track of time. But we established a helpline, which is available to make us be able to coordinate throughout the diocese. Because it was kind of we're playing kind of a zone defense for a while, and I think we dropped the ball a couple times. and so this has been very helpful to have this helpline. It's available through our webpage online, and that number, I'm just going to leave it for your audience in case they want to jot it down. It's 916-572-7553, and our air traffic controller, a young, wonderful young woman, Gigi Balochi,
Oh, yes.
She's our traffic controller on that helpline, and she just does an amazing job. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that I want to say a big, huge thank you on behalf of the Society to all of your listeners for the annual Catholic Appeal.
Yes.
We were the beneficiaries of that again this year as a partner with the diocese and are just so grateful for that assistance, especially during this, you know, tough time. So just want to express that appreciation. And, you know, it is so strange now with you know, asking people for help because, you know, the way we used to do it, we have these galas and things like that. And now we're not able to do that so much. So we're always looking for that assistance and just greatly appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So many people participate in that. It's whether it's a dollar or $1 million, it's just wonderful to see people reach down and help somebody out.
Absolutely. And it goes, I mean, the thing that's so nice about it is that it's what they call unrestricted funds.
Right.
So it's just basically what and I'll tell you what we do with the funds, and this is amazing. It comes through to the council, and then we put it out through our six districts. So we cover the whole diocese with that money, spread it in, you know, equitably, get the money down local where it's needed, and get it into the right hands for people that can do, you know, good work with it. And not wait for months and months and months. It's like it gets distributed, it's out there, and it goes down, you know, to the conference level. So that's your subsidiarity at work there, you know, getting the money where it needs to be.
Amen. That's wonderful. That's just
we
wonderful.
We appreciate the support of the bishop. He has been in our corner from the very, very beginning, quite frankly, he's an inspiration because he's, you know, the Holy Spirit's good, but the bishop is always one step of a step ahead of the Holy Spirit. The bishop nudged me at one of these chicken dinners we were sitting years ago, and he said, I think that, you know, maybe St. Vincent de Paul could help us, you know, with the jail ministry.
Oh, wow.
I think that's positive. You know, and it's just like he plants seeds, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and look at what I mean, the sort of unknown fruits. You know, just because you don't always keep track of everybody, but the Exodus Project is such a beautiful concept, if you will, and hopefully it will bear great fruit.
Well, I think it already has. I mean. It's a growing project. They've done a great job with it, and they, you know, they're adapting just like you know all of us are as Catholic organizations. They're a project of St. Vincent de Paul, but they are separate in the sense that you know they run their show. Again, right. That whole idea about get the people, the right people in the right place to get the help out there, they certainly have done that.
Oh, amen. Yeah. Rabbi Seth Castleman is tremendous.
Yes, he has. Just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yeah.
And there are so many people now that we can, you know, just point to and just, you know, thank. And the other thing, too, is one of the things I got to tell you this. We had, you know, there, like a lot of Catholic organizations, we're not the youngest group, right? You know, we're sort of in the retiree category, which is fine, and it's wonderful because we bring a lot of talent, you know, to what we do. But we would like to have a few young Vincentians, you know, people in their 20s like our founder was, you know. At the walk we went to, again, Gigi Belochi, she organized this whole thing, and she brought her troop of young Vincentians. And I got to tell you, Bob, it was a good sign. The older Vincentians, the veterans, we were outnumbered by the youngsters.
Well,
and I loved it.
You need somebody who can carry the big heavy box from the trunk of the car into somebody's home. And that's why you need these young kids.
Yeah, Yeah, but in the meantime, it's our old broken backs.
I know. I just on Monday of this week just moved our youngest daughter into a dorm room, you know, and I know all about carrying those boxes. And I didn't really, there were parts of my back I didn't know existed. Still feeling it today.
Yeah, I would say there are people you hire for that at this point.
That's right. That's right. And they don't let you park anywhere near the dorm, you know, and there's 400 cars with other parents and kids all arriving at the same time, you know.
Yeah, it's got the whole feeling of a festival, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. But it's life. It's a joyful moment and a sad moment, you know.
Yeah. Bit, kind of bittersweet, huh?
Yeah, indeed. And you've been through it, so.
Yeah, I'm still paying the bills.
Yes, indeed. That's the other part of it. So.
You know, a lot of times, not everybody, because, I mean, people are on different types of social media, but for the folks in your audience that are on Facebook, it is really easy to find our page. You know, you just go to Facebook and it's SVDP SAC, so St. Vincent de Paul Sacramento, SVDP SASAC, and it'll pop right open. And that's always a lot of fun because we're able to do a little bit more with social media in terms of you know, contemporaneous pictures, sometimes videos, latest announcements and things like that. Also true for the thrift store. It's a good way to get the news.
Yeah, the thrift store is such a wonderful place, and it just knowing they're giving back, you know, vaccination. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to people at Loaves and Fishes a little while ago, and they're offering vaccinations too. And she said, the executive director, Angela Hassel, she said, you know, there are a number of people that they see that hadn't been vaccinated because of a lack of trust, you know, and yet they trust the people at Loaves and Fishes. And so they're getting vaccinated. And I think the same thing with the people that come to St. Vincent de Paul is they trust you. And it's not the only reason people don't get vaccinated, but it is one of the reasons. And
yeah. And if we can be an avenue to help anybody, I think it's just great to be able to have those services. Yeah, I never know what that thrift store is going to have in the parking lot. They've had taco trucks.
Yeah, yeah.
Every once in a while, they'll pull like racks of this stuff out of the store, and it's like there at the front door.
Right there. Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. The speaking of the thrift store, one of the things that we do to help the thrift store is we have what we call Bundle Sunday, and it's actually Bundle Weekend, and we've got one coming up. September 25th and 26th at Our Lady of Grace in West Sacramento. So on that Saturday and Sunday, we get the big truck out there, and we have these wonderful volunteers that, you know, will take your stuff and, you know, and then we bundle it up, we put it in the truck, and we take it off to the store, and they're able to then, you know, put that merchandise into the store. The proceeds from that store go to fund our various projects. The store itself is, you know, kind of a gift in the fact that we're able to employ people.
Right.
And that's been a challenge during this pandemic.
Right.
So a lot of lessons learned.
So with the store, what sort of items do you especially need, and what sort of items just you can't take?
Well, the things we can't take, I'll start with that, because that's usually kind of like the source of disappointment. But
right.
Things that are like related to babies, we can't take those. We can take toys, we can take children's books, we love that stuff. But the bassinets and the carriers.
Just from a safety standpoint?
Yeah, there's a liability issue there, so we can't do that. And then for any large items, you just want to call the store. You know, get on, you know, they have distribution routes for the truck to pick stuff up. And then if you have a question, you know, just call the store, and, you know, they will let you know if there's going to be trouble with it. But, you know, it's usually things like, you know, And here's a rule of thumb that I think is really helpful for me. If you weren't giving it away, could you really use it?
Uh-huh.
You know, so, like, yeah. If you've got a TV set, for example, that because technology has moved on beyond all of us, you know,
right?
You know, it's not something that we can really use, you know, because
sure.
it's not going to be usable. But on the other hand, there's some, you know, if you've got like old, I guess DVDs now.
Yeah.
You know, DVDs are considered old, right?
Right.
Those videotapes. We have people that come in and they love that. They're collectors.
Yep.
The machines that still work and they collect it. We have people that they love the vinyl records, you know, and most of your audience won't even know what I'm talking about, but back in the old day, there was a circular disc about the size of a pizza, very thin.
Right.
They used to play music, believe it or not.
I like the little 78s. I don't know if they still exist.
Now you've lost everybody.
You have to be 78 to know what a 78 is.
Yeah. So those are the things. I mean, those things are nice. And then, of course, the furniture is always very, very helpful to have that. You know, but again, it's got to be furniture that's in, you know, relatively good shape.
Sure.
Like my, you know, I'm not going to donate my couch because, you know, the dogs have,
yep.
You know, it's their couch now. So that's not going to work. But, you know, again, we sell whatever we get, and it's amazing. There is a audience for thrift stores. There still is, and it's quite an event. People come out, and
my kids, that they'd rather go to the St. Vincent de Paul store than to Disneyland.
Well,
it's amazing.
Those are good Catholic kids.
They are.
Yeah. I was going to say that I heard recently that Mondays is the day. That's the day when everybody comes out, and it's like their big shopping days.
Yep.
So the store, of course, you know, they're ready for it. They've got the stuff out there. It's ready to go. So it can be fun.
Yeah, and I think that's a great rule of thumb. If this is really something that you couldn't use, it's probably not usable. That's a great rule of thumb.
And remember that, you know, we're going to sell it, and also we're going to be selling it at to make it affordable to people that are going to be using it. So,
sure.
You know, and the other thing is like the household goods, like we will take those and we get them to the people that need them. You know, we get packages of household goods.
Yeah.
The store has a bedding program, which is very successful, which is used by all the conferences, but people come in and buy the beds, you know? So, it's kind of like Disneyland. It's just, the more I think about it, we've got our different adventure lands in that store. So yeah, check it out. 2275 Watt.
And it's open what, 7 days a week?
I believe so, because we're in this pandemic and changing times, always check the website, always.
Yeah, or give them a call. Paul, always a joy. Keep rooting for the Irish.
I'm praying.
We're praying for the Irish, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thanks so much, and thanks to your audience.
Thanks, Paul. God bless. That's Paul Starkey, who's been with St. Vincent de Paul Society for a long time, and just so much great work that they do at the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Gabe?
Is Notre Dame supposed to be good this year? I don't follow college football like you.
Well, they're ranked in the top 10 and were heavily favored against Florida State and almost blew an 18-point lead in the first game and finally won in overtime.
Okay.
And then they're playing Toledo the next weekend, which was last weekend, and Toledo is kind of a step down, you know. I mean, they just are.
Yeah.
I mean, they can have some good teams, but they're not at that level. They're not the Notre Dame, USC, Alabama, that level.
Right.
And Toledo was ahead with a minute 13 to go.
Do they have good players?
Came back and won.
Does Toledo have good players, though, you think? Or are they
they're good players. I mean, and it was – but it's the kind of game Notre Dame's supposed to win. It's the kind of game Alabama would win.
What are those games they play at the beginning of the year? There's like a name for them where they're supposed to win. They're kind of like
Cupcake games.
Cupcake games. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Or, and actually, the worst term for them is money games, because you'll find a lot of teams like at the UC Davis Sac State level, which is what they call used to call 1AA,
right?
And the big guys are at 1A, and the big guys all want an easy game to start the season, always at their place in front of a big crowd, and they're going to win 52-6. And they're money games because the little school's going to get $1 million or something like that to play there.
Right. And national exposure.
And national exposure. And they'll take their lumps. Usually, like Sac State this weekend is going to play at Berkeley.
Yeah, and if Sac State even does well.
And if they even do well. And once in a while, one time Sac State beat Oregon State.
I remember
that. One time UC Davis beat Stanford. You know,
is that Rocky Balboa story?
Yeah, once in a while, when that happens.
Yeah.
Oh boy, it's University of Montana just went and beat the University of Washington.
It is that equivalency, like in boxing, where you got a guy who's supposed to be what they call a tomato can.
Yeah.
Where they just get punched and bloody, but then they go all 15 rounds, and you're like, oh wow,
that's
you know, like, either the champ isn't who we thought he was, or this guy's better than we thought he was going to be. Yeah.
And with the smaller programs. This is a check they really need.
Yeah.
They'll get anywhere, depending on who the school is that you're playing, they'll get anywhere from $400,000 to over $1 million just for playing the game.
Just for playing the game you got to play anyway.
Right. And it seems to me, though, that if they go and beat them, you ought to have to give the check back. Because part of the deal was you were supposed to lose to us. Oh. Do you know what I mean?
So the Washington Generals, the Globetrotter kind of thing?
Yeah, but they don't have to give the check back either.
I think they should get paid what the big team was going to get paid if they win.
Well, very interesting situation at UC Davis. They a couple of years ago announced that they were going to play USC.
Mm.
Big deal.
Yeah.
There are only three of the big boys, which they call 1A, that have never played one level down.
Mm-hmm.
USC, UCLA, and Notre Dame. They've never played a lower division team.
Okay.
Ever.
Ever. Okay.
Yeah. Everybody else does it. And USC scheduled UC Davis. $750,000 paycheck.
Wow.
And they were supposed to play to open this season, like September the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, because I cover UC Davis football for a newspaper, I thought, that's going to be fun to go to the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Last time I was in Coliseum, USC was playing Notre Dame, and I was sitting right next to a Catholic priest. You know, it was really fun. Anyway, USC gets a new athletic director, and the boosters climb all over him.
We cannot play
UC Davis. It's beneath our dignity. And so it gets scrubbed. And UC Davis gets the money, though.
That's good.
They keep $750,000.
That's good.
UC Davis then scheduled Tulsa, which is also 1A, but not as well known.
Yeah, Tulsa, yeah.
For $400,000.
Oh, Davis coming out on top.
So they get out. They go back to play Tulsa, and they get a payday of $1.15 million, right?
That's a lot of microscopes.
Yeah. $750,000 from USC for no game at all, $400,000 from Tulsa, and cherry on top of the sundae, they beat Tulsa.
Wow.
So it was like win.
I wonder if USC is going to get any backlash for that, because I mean, it's kind of elitist, you know. It's like, oh, the dignity of our program. Like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, everyone shows up to play the game. I mean, I remember when I used to coach football, and when I used to play, there were times when you'd play and there'd be a team you were playing that, you know, whether it be the kids I was coaching in Pop Warner or when I played semi-pro football, team would have 13 guys.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, they showed up.
Yep.
They want to play. They deserve what's coming. If it's a 60-0 loss, they still came for it. So don't short them by taking it easy on them or making them feel like, oh, you're beneath us. Just play the game.
It's one of the strange things, and I know the Catholic here, our parochial athletic league, just does wonderful stuff with sportsmanship.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
It's all about playing the game and respecting your opponent and you know, playing by the rules and all that.
Yeah.
It's a great learning experience. But in the youth sports, not necessarily the parochial athletic league, but all youth sports, they have, when a team gets too far behind, they have the mercy rule.
Yeah, the mercy rule.
I don't like it.
I don't either.
I know the you like sometimes when I would be taking my son to his Little League game, you know, and the other team just came off, you know, they played the game early, and,
right.
and you'd see a kid and you'd say, hey, how'd you guys do? And the chin drops onto the toe. We got mercy ruled. You know,
yeah, it's the worst.
He'd rather said we lost 24-2. But
yeah, and also I feel like it teaches kids that at a certain threshold will save you.
Will save you.
Yeah, and yeah. It's like I feel like, you know, you got to know that look, you keep digging this hole deeper, you can have a choice. You can either just give up and take the beating for the next 20 minutes or however long yeah. this is, or you can fight back and try to get a point.
Yeah.
Score.
Yeah.
My son actually, his very first soccer game was this last weekend. And he's never played sports before. He's 8 years old. He wanted to play soccer. So I was like, great, let's play some soccer. He played goalie and he stopped like 4 goals. But his team was, you know, like when you practice, and I used to get this all the time when I coached, you think your team's good, but you're like, let's see until we play somebody yeah. we're not practicing against.
Yeah.
And they're good. Like, yeah. they're pretty good. Like, yeah. you know, and like he only had to stop four or five shots on goal because they weren't down in his area much. And when they were, his defensemen you know, did really well. Again, they're 8, so it's, you know, swarm ball. But
I call it magnet ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's one ball, and there's 40 kids.
Yep.
And the ball's just sitting there. It never moves.
Right.
And there's just like a whole bunch of hornets.
And then one kid will kick it really hard and hit another kid in the face, and then they keep going. Yeah. It's like, ow, and then they keep yeah. going. But anyway, you know, these kids, they're 8, so they're a little more skilled than that. But yeah, still, it is pretty bad. But anyway, it was funny because, like, his team was winning, like, 9-0. And then it was so funny. His kid comes down and she takes a shot on goal, and my son dives the wrong direction because he's way into diving, even though he doesn't have to. Like, the ball will be right in front of him. He just dives on it.
Too much TV.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he missed. And then this other kid just comes running up and just talking trash to my son. And my son's never experienced that before. And it was so funny to me because I go, hey, buddy, what did that kid say to you after he scored? He goes, I don't know. I think he was mad at me, but they scored.
He's mad at me. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the things that has bothered me as a parent we always knew about sore losers.
Of course.
But now we have sore winners.
Of course, like, I know.
I can't tell you how many times I hear somebody who's just won an Olympic gold medal or has just won the Super Bowl or what, and nobody believed in me.
I know.
Nobody believed in me. Gosh. What are we talking about? Well, here's a gymnast. I don't even know who you are, and I didn't know if I believed in you or I didn't believe yeah. in you. But it's like
all my haters, like, I can't hate you. I don't even know your name.
Yeah, it's like everybody's on this vendetta, you know, and the other rule I don't like is running time, which is football's version of the mercy rule.
We've had that with Pop Warner too. Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah. A running clock.
Game's over before it even starts.
Right.
Mean, they're running the clock at halftime. They're running the clock at timeouts. There's nothing stops that clock. The game's over in about 15 minutes, and everybody gets cheated.
Yeah. In a sport like football, I've noticed that one of the negative byproducts of that is you end up getting kids who think that the game is over, quote unquote. So they play a little more loosely. And they're like, offsides. Oh, well, I'm still going to hit this guy or whatever. And it's like, the game's still going on, buddy. You know, about the whole sore winner thing, I think we got to get going. I told my son, I forget who said it. I think it might have been Michael Jordan. I forget who it was, but it was a quote because he's like, hey, Dad, I did really good today, right? I was like, yeah, you did a good job, buddy. And he goes, okay. And then one of the kids on his team came by, and he was like, hey, good game. My son goes, yeah, I did a good job today. And I go, all right, buddy. I go, here's a really important quote for you. He's like, what? I go, people who are good will tell you how good they are. People who are great will get told how great they are.
That's right.
I go, so just keep your mouth shut and play the game.
The other quote I like, and it's been attributed to about 1,000 different people, but you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before.
Barry Sanders, yep.
Was that Barry Sanders?
Barry Sanders was the one who kind of made that very apparent because every time he scored, he handed the ball. I think he said that he had said that. He goes, I've been there before. I don't need to celebrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. 100% true.
I mean, you see it. You know, you sack the quarterback and then you point your finger at him. And it's like, why do we need to do those things? And it's just one of the things I really like about the Prokill Athletic League, the PAL. If you will, they're really big on sportsmanship.
That's what I told the kids. I used to coach them. I had a kid who was a running back who got about like a 12-yard gain, And he gets up and he was like all celebrating and stuff like that. And I go, hey, he goes, yeah. I go, you're a running back, right? He goes, yeah. I go, you ran the ball? He goes, yeah. I go, you get a first down? He goes, yeah. I go, that's your job.
That's your job.
I go, you don't celebrate for doing your job.
That's right.
It doesn't work that way.
The other thing, the reverse is, and I saw this, my son played high school volleyball this year and this last spring. And after every point, they high five.
I can't stand that.
If you hit it in the net, doesn't matter.
It's like a free throw in basketball, too.
Yeah. Everybody's high five. You missed your free throw. All five guys come over.
Yeah, it's like,
and they're all high fiving you. What are you high fiving about?
It was my old buddy and I, when I used to play semi pro ball, like a lot of the guys wanted to sort of, I don't know what they were, what the whole rah rah stuff about it was, but we had like the banner to run through and all the stuff. My buddy and I used to sit on the bench and on the hat. Are you coming over? I'm like, I just want to play the game, guys. This whatever this is, this isn't for me. Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's fine to teach kids, you know, the keys to sportsmanship for kids and teach that stuff. But at a certain point, yeah, you as like professional or like college, it's like, what are you guys doing? Like, why?
My dad, I played a lot of sports growing up, as you did, and. And anything involved a ball and I didn't have to run too fast. And my dad told me, he says, the only thing I ask you is you do your best and know that your opponent is doing his best. Mm-hmm. He wants to win as bad as you do. Win, lose, or tie, you shake his hand.
Yep.
You thank him. And if you've got a bad knee or were up all night because you were writing a term paper or whatever, if you feel like you can't give 100%, well, you either make up your mind to go out there and give 100%,
right?
But no excuses. Right. Don't go up to, you know, and say, well, I might have beat him if my knee didn't hurt.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's the
so
worst.
Bad, just don't play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because that takes the joy of victory away from him.
Yeah. I remember there was, I think it was, and I'm actually a fan of Serena Williams, but I remember there was one year she lost a major, and she just kept complaining about the wind and then the court and her shoes. And the whole time, the woman who beat her was just kind of sitting there quietly like, okay, cool. I guess I didn't do this. It's like, yeah, I know. It's funny. It's amazing, though. You can tell, even if your kid doesn't play sports as they get older, because I coached a lot of sports. I know, like, I only have young kids now, but I've coached a lot of kids. You can see the ones who are allowed to lose and face that become much more well-adjusted athletes and people as they get older.
If you, yeah, yes, it's, I mean, I in all my sporting, you know, endeavors, I remember the losses way more than I remember the wins, and would never change a single one of them.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I remember the losses. I remember the wins. It was funny because 1 year, 2 years I played football, semi-pro football. We won the championship 1 year. The next year we were completely undefeated. The next year going into it, we started winning the first few games and everyone's, you know, all excited. And they go, hey guys, we need to lose. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we need to lose because half of you guys weren't here last year and you guys think this is how it is. And it's not how it is. And when we start losing, you guys are going to freak out because you've never lost and you got to. And we did. Finally, thankfully, lose twice. And then we beat the team in the championship game that we lost twice to.
Right.
So it was that much sweeter. But it's like, okay, had we not lost, we probably would have lost the championship because they would have lost the two times. It's a basic human condition. Adversity and struggle makes you stronger.
Well, you look at Gonzaga basketball, the great Catholic school there. They went through the whole season undefeated. All the great coaches are saying, nobody can beat Gonzaga. They're a monster. They don't have a weakness. They don't have anything. They get into the championship game, and they got beat.
Yeah.
It was never even close.
Their weakness is they don't know what defeat looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they'd lost a game or two along the way, then we get into this tight spot over here, maybe. But
yeah, not freaking out over adversity is a very, very – it's important to learn that. And it's so great when you have sports programs that will actually teach – my mom walked right up to my son's game. First thing she said, are we keeping score or what? I was like, of course we're keeping score. She goes, okay, good. So, you know, it's good.
The best thing I ever saw, though, was it was my son's little league team. They happened to get into the championship game. But it wasn't because it was his team, but that's why I was witnessing it. And – It's a, like a 1-1 game, late inning. And the other team was still going to have one at bat, and that was about it.
Right.
And it's tied, and this kid gets up and hits a grand slam.
Oh.
Kind of like game over.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't a walk off, but game over. And as he rounds the bases, every kid on the other team high fived him.
That's awesome.
I just,
that's great.
I didn't think I'd ever see anything like that.
That's great.
The other thing I liked was the team. My son was going to Davis High School, and they're playing. I think they're playing Intercom in volleyball, and Intercom had their senior night. You know, and the kids' mom and dad come down, and
the homecoming
and take pictures, and they give them a little gift, and a big crowd because it's senior night. And then the athletic director at this school that is not Davis says, "We understand there are three seniors on the Davis High School team." And then he reads their names, and they go up and they give them a
gift.
That's
nice.
And I thought, I got tears in my eyes.
That's great.
I sent the athletic director and the principal notes saying that was one of the classiest things I've seen.
That's great.
I've seen a school do.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
So spread the good word. Well, that's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless.